welcome to episode 46 of Live Wrestling Podcast. Now, the voice you're hearing right now, that's me, the host, or a co-host of this show, the founder of Live Wrestling. My name is Dylan Cross. I'm coming to you live from this brand new microphone. I hope it sounds as sexy as it looks. I mean, it kind of looks like a penis. So if you're into that kind of thing, it looks super sexy. Hopefully it sounds super sexy. Costs a lot of money. Also, podcasting with me, I suppose is the way to put that. We have Kevin.
Wait. You get that introduction and I get the... It's Kevin. What?
Well, I said we have Kevin. So it's all about the inflection.
Okay. The founder, the creator.
I get to the put new microphone over holder. One time. I've been spending the last like 4 episodes just like screaming about Ben and his championness.
True. Do we ever figure out who the new champion is?
We have, but I'm going to wait till we get a larger podcast to announce that formally.
Okay. Sounds good.
Absolutely. So we may be able to bring on Will later in the show, but he is currently unavailable, so we will see how that goes.
He's eating soup.
He is eating soup currently, but we cannot vouch for the fact that he will be eating soup for the duration of this podcast. All right, so let's get into some Monday Night Raw, shall we?
I do think that's what we're here for. And to talk to you with your sexy voice.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Getting on my good side, trying to get me to muscle you in to the champion spot. It's not going to work, pal.
Unless I earned it. Well, yeah. I don't think I did.
No comment. So, the show started off live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We go to the ring. We have Eden. I can't figure out if I like her as an announcer or not.
I haven't really paid attention to the announcers. Is that like mean of me?
I doubt it. It's not really something you would normally pay attention to. It's just something I like, just kind of... I noticed because, like, she always has the exact same inflection for everyone. And, I don't know, it feels like she should be putting more emphasis on some people than others. Just kind of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me, though. She
well,
does
you
fine.
Are like you are, like, a half announcer doing it in the past.
I have done it in the past.
Yeah.
But those days are gone. Kind of sadly. Mostly not. And they may return in the future.
Yes.
Alright, so, we get Rollins and his lovely heeldom, we get, Orton and his facedom, so there's that, I don't know, Orton is face, this is probably the best Orton's ever been as a face, right?
I was gonna say, this is like the only time I've ever actually liked Orton as face.
Yeah, cause that's the whole thing with Orton, is that you have times where Orton is amazing as a heel, and then they're like, oh, he's clearly getting so over. Let's make him a face. And then he's totally not the same guy. He's just person
he's just
that's
boring.
Randy Orton.
Yeah, he's just boring and usually is a face. But this face I actually kind of like a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing with WWE face turns in general. They don't seem to understand that in order to have an effective heel turn, all you really need to do is just, like, target different people.
Yeah.
Like CM Punk, for example. He really didn't do anything different in 2012 to 2013 reign, he just kind of started targeting different people like The Rock and John Cena and all that.
Yeah, he just kind of like stopped hating on the audience and pretty much just, he's like, hey, instead of going against good guys, let's just go against bad guys. And it worked.
It's right there. It's right there in front of us. And I don't know, that was just such a successful run. It just seemed like they were so close, and then it becomes immediately apparent that Punk was behind the entirety of that.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, they're doing Orton okay right now.
He's making it work.
He still panders a little bit too much, though. But he always does that.
I mean, some of his lines come off really, really awkwardly. Like, I don't know, he tries to be funny, and a lot of his funniness isn't funny.
No, he's just not a funny person. He's the guy that speaks really deeply and really slow and really, like, with, like, malice and anger, and that's cool.
He keeps trying to have, like, Randy Orton one-liners like John Cena does, but they just don't work.
Well, I mean, I would say that when John Cena does them, they don't work great either.
They work better than Orton's. Sometimes I actually laugh at Cena's one-liners. I'm ashamed to admit that, but...
I'm trying to remember the last one I've actually laughed at. I don't know.
I don't ever remember them. I just know I laugh sometimes.
Okay. Fair enough.
They're not that good. I'm remembering them. But...
Yeah. Sometimes he just, like, surprises you by doing something a little different than he usually does.
The only one I can ever remember is the heel turn one.
Oh, Jesus. All right, that was a good one.
That's the only thing I can remember, which is bad because that was, like, 3 years ago.
Well, was it that long?
It probably was, like, a year ago, 2 years ago.
I don't know. John Cena's one of those guys. Like, he knows everything that we hate about him. And he just kind of keeps on doing it. And you gotta kind of respect that.
Yeah, he's like, hey, guess what? I'm making money either way, and I'm the good guy. Just gotta work with it.
Yeah. Just being John Cena. And that's pretty cool, I think.
When I was younger, I hated on him a lot for being superhuman John Cena. Yeah, sometimes it is a little annoying to watch now, but, I mean, like, if you really look at it, like, at the same time, I'm not one of those guys that'll go hating on him on the internet or anything.
Yeah.
Because I do respect for what he does and what he does with the Make-A-Wish, especially the Make-A-Wish and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I respect the guy in the end with the military and all that. He's very respectable.
Yeah.
But it's not his fault the character's stale. Like, it's just the way it ended up being.
No.
Like, it's hard to explain, but I respect him. Yeah, I get bored of him a lot, but I respect him.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that you have to do as a wrestling fan, and considering that if you're listening to this, you're probably an internet wrestling fan of some kind. I would imagine that's generally the niche that podcasts like these appeal to. You have to look at it like you're still watching wrestling. Like, you're still inherently just watching something ridiculous, and it's much more fun to just kind of turn off your mind and let it all just kind of happen and just have fun watching wrestling than, like, sit down with your pen and paper and be like, oh, well, they could have booked this better, and just, damn it, no, this was terrible. If he'd have just said this instead of this or done this move instead of this move, it would have popped the crowd better. Like, I get that. I understand that everything can always be better, but everything can always be worse as well, and you just kind of have to watch it from a little bit more of a laid-back perspective. And don't get me wrong, I am a monstrous wrestling fan. I take wrestling very seriously. But at the same time, I can just sit back and watch it as entertainment, not as, like, a, you know, the defining characteristic of who I am.
I 100% agree with you, but I think did you do that on purpose, that your internet wrestling fan is Vince McMahon impersonation?
A little bit.
I don't know why, but it just came off as Vince McMahon, and it worked pretty well.
Felt like
I enjoyed it.
Do.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
This is a little off topic, and I don't mean to go too off topic, but I was just scrolling through Facebook a couple of minutes ago. I just read an interesting article on CM Punk. I have not given two cares in the world about Punk lately, and all of his hating and smashing on WWE and professional wrestling. This one took a little interest of me. It sparked a little something in my eye. It says CM Punk on WWE, and is quoted, somebody asked his potential return to pro wrestling. He says, I just couldn't do it anymore. It didn't make any sense to me. I would put my boots on and shuffle my feet and walk out there and be like, I don't even know. It doesn't mean anything. It's fake. See, comments like that does get me a little upset.
Yeah, yeah, like, me too.
Because if you watch his documentary and his old-time stuff, even when he was backyard wrestling as a kid, you could see he cared about it. It's not like he never cared about wrestling. And
no,
obviously,
I mean,
you care
yeah.
about wrestling if you're becoming a professional wrestler.
Oh yeah,
especially that magnitude.
It was his whole life, and now...
yeah, it's what got him through his like his problems as a child and stuff. Like, I don't know. Then he just leaves, and all of a sudden, wrestling's stupid and it's fake and had nothing to do with for him.
I mean, he's worn out, and he's done.
That's understandable.
He's done a lot for this business and in this business, and he's ready to move on with his life, and I'm sure that he gets it all the time. Just people just like that won't shut up about that past phase in his life, and I can understand that as a human being. He just kind of wants to get on to the next phases of his life. It's like, you know, like if Bruce Willis was like always, if like everyone was always tweeting Bruce Willis about another Die Hard movie, and he's like, well, I'm just trying to make Red.
I was thinking more of it's like if Bruce Willis wanted to become a ballerina, and they kept asking him to go back to be a back to Die Hard.
Okay, maybe.
That's what viable. I was thinking. A whole different career choice, but
yeah
I don't
Bruce
I don't mind
be an amazing ballerina. CM Punk will be an amazing whatever it is he wants to do.
I don't mind CM Punk leaving and not really wanting to go back and sick and tired. I just hate, like, I don't know, he just down talks it so much, and I don't know.
Yeah, he does it too much.
Yeah,
he
acts like it did absolutely nothing for him, and he'd still be where he's at without it, and it's like, no, you wouldn't. Like, yeah, you did a lot for WWE, but WWE also did a lot for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I know this is old news and everything. I just thought that article was a little interesting.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sorry.
So let's move along. We have the King of the Ring. First match on that during that tournament was Dolph Ziggler versus Bad News Barrett, which is probably a match that could have like been the finals. That's an awesome matchup.
But I'm afraid I got some bad news. It had a pretty crappy ending.
This one wasn't as bad.
It was all right.
It was just Ziggler getting distracted and taking a finishing move. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, I don't like those endings.
That's fair.
But
I don't mind them.
Yeah, it's to kind of put both people over without having them take the loss.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind. It helps, like, get a third party involved, helps it, you know, everyone, it, nobody loses any credibility as like a clean loss might.
Yeah,
it's a totally understandable thing.
It was an average match.
I loved that it just like they knew they didn't have a lot of time, so instead of just like kind of like just mailing it in and rushing it, like, I don't know, the biggest example that stands out in my mind of that would have been like CM Punk and John Cena from Raw 1000. Like, could have been something great, but they knew they didn't have enough time, so they just kind of sloppily rushed it. Instead,
I remember them having a...
It was okay, but, like, yeah. It's CM Punk and John Cena. You expect, like, amazing. And it was just, like, okay.
A lot of people consider that the best match ever on a Raw.
Are we thinking... No, I'm talking about the one that Punk turned on Rock.
Oh. I think... is that the one?
I think the one you're thinking of is the one leading into WrestleMania 29 for the number one contendership, the WWE title.
Yeah, that's the match.
That one was amazing.
I thought that was the same match. No.
No. That was a year after the one I'm talking about.
Oh, that's my mistake.
That's all right. Anyway, but as the point I was making, instead of doing that, they just like went out and like just like went crazy for, you know, 5-7 minutes. And just like did all their moves and just worked a really quick pace and just had like a really fun quick match. That's just a great way to deal with that situation, I think.
Yeah, putting as much out. Yeah. They did make it work. It was exciting.
Yeah, it was just fun to watch. Just a really quick 5-7 minutes, whatever it was.
I mean, I find Dolph Ziggler is able to do that more often than Barrett. Dolph Ziggler can make magic happen in, like, a 2-minute match.
Ziggler's just, a very special competitor.
Yeah.
In the ring. He can just do anything. If he can put anyone over, he can put himself over during, like, while doing that. It's just such a cool thing that you don't see very often. People that can just so effectively put themselves over while also putting over their opponent at the same time in pretty much any match they're in.
Agreed. He definitely has something special about him.
Absolutely. So we get Sheamus coming out at the end of the match, reminding, shall we say, Ziggler about the Extreme Rules finish, and
you kissed me arse.
Kind of. More like you got your nose rubbed in me arse.
Which is probably worse than a kiss.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I
yeah,
never
it gives a whole new
Sheamus
title. It gives a whole new thing to like brown nose in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Sheamus smells bad, though. He doesn't seem like someone that would smell bad.
I feel like his butt probably smells bad.
Well, it wasn't in the crack.
True. I've still yet to see that match, I couldn't say, but I've seen a picture of it.
Oh, it's a good match. Yeah. I would recommend going and seeking that out.
Yeah, I've yet to see the King of the Ring from yesterday.
Yeah, me too. I haven't watched that yet. I'm really excited for that, though.
Yeah, so we probably could have talked about that today, but
we probably should have. Now that you
mistake.
Mention it, we definitely should have. And here we are.
I still don't even know who won, so I'm kind of happy about that.
Oh, I do.
Somehow I've managed to stay away from the social media part of it, so that makes me happy. I know who's in the finals, but I don't know who won. So
I was trying to get more followers for the Twitter account, and happened into it, and that was a shame.
Yeah, that's number one rule. Stay away from Twitter. stay away from Twitter when not trying to get spoilers.
Truth.
But, yeah.
But anyway.
Sheamus comes out.
Ziggler gets upset, turns around to the Bullhammer. Sheamus laughs. Bad News Barrett moves on to the semifinals. And all is right in the world.
Does Barrett still yell boom when he hits it? Boom. Or
did he ever yell boom when he hit it?
He yelled something. Boom. Bam. Bing.
I don't remember that being a thing.
He definitely yelled something at some point.
That does not sound familiar to me.
Boom.
He, like, did that during his entrance.
Yeah,
I can't
that's
think
what,
of...
He definitely, like, hit the elbow when he did it or something. I don't know. This is really bad on my part. I have a distinct memory of him. He just goes, boom.
He yelled... I mean, he, like, tributed Mick Foley by doing the bang-bang elbow a couple times. If that's what you're referring to.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's all good.
All good?
Who was it the other day that did that? He did the bang-bang. I think it was Dean Ambrose, possibly.
Yeah. I don't know. I would assume it's Dean Ambrose. That's a Dean Ambrose thing to do.
Somebody did the bang-bang and then dropped the elbow. I think...
Yeah,
see, now I'm giving facts out, which I'm not sure who's who. I think it was Amber, so don't take my word on it.
I won't. But I'm going to assume you're right anyway.
I just thought it was cool that somebody referenced it, and it was pretty cool. So whatever wrestler referenced it, kudos.
Good on you, buddy. Yeah. We get Big E versus Tyson Kidd. This is obviously not a King of the Ring match. Big E takes the victory. Surprising amount of offense for Tyson.
Well, I think they want to make him a strong competitor.
Well, yeah, but shouldn't they want to make the tag team champion a stronger competitor?
Well, he won.
Yeah, but like, he's like 280 pounds getting taken.
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Just getting his ass kicked like the majority of the match by Tyson Kidd, who can't be over 220.
Yeah, but Cesaro and Kidd were just champions. It's not like they weren't ever champions.
I'm not saying they aren't legitimate, but Kidd's just kind of the energetic, high-flying one. Not necessarily like a brawling ass-kicker.
No, that's what he did, though. He had some high-flying moves, and just Big E didn't have the defense.
Fair. That's solid psychology right there.
Yes, we are a great, or I am a great, talker of the wrestling.
Oh, yes. No, I am to get no credit for such things.
No, I am a terrible talker of the wrestling live, though.
That I shan't discuss.
We won't get into that.
Nope. So Big E takes the victory. Quick match. Pretty unremarkable.
Yeah, not very memorable. I actually forgot about it until you brought it up.
Yeah, it's a shame. Because New Day is, like, really great.
New Day.
I never thought I was going to say that, because when they introduced New Day, it was the stupidest thing. But well,
I remember. Yep, sorry. I keep doing
No, go ahead.
That's well, I remember for the longest time, they were talking about New Nation of Domination, and then all the, it was right at the beginning of the year, I think. Not like, beginning of like September or somewhere around there. It's like right around the time all the like Ferguson was going on and stuff. I believe, I'm pretty sure it was right around that time, all the riots and stuff. Not like talking about like the riots today at Baltimore, but it was like during, it had like, they were talking about it like just weeks before that happened. And then that happened and they just dropped the idea real fast. They didn't want to get into that.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't, for weeks, they had them together, but they didn't have a name for them or anything, and they were never actually together on TV. They were just together, like, on live events, because I guess it was during the summer, actually. It wasn't September. It was in August, because I went to a live event in August. I had second row seats, and Big E talking to me, but he was with Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods at the time. They were all together. So, yeah, that was right around that time. It was just, I guess that's when Ferguson was happening. It was the summer. And, on live TV, they had them, like, all meet up together. And then they just dropped it for weeks. And I thought it was going to be dropped all together until that live event. And months later, they finally brought them back, and it just looked terrible. Like, nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, they did those terrible vignettes with the chorus.
Yeah, so it really, really has been a long time coming for these three guys. Like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's,
like, most people just think back to the chorus with the, or what you just said, the vignettes. Just think about how long it's been from that, which is a couple months. But if you really look back at it, it's all the way from like the summer, which is crazy to think of. It's almost a year of them just kind of sitting around with each other.
Yeah,
doing,
I mean,
absolutely nothing.
That's what I've always said. Like, to be successful in wrestling, all you have to do is just 100% commit to your character. Like, even if it's the stupidest thing ever, like Red Rooster got over. Like, Boogeyman got over. Sandman was a terrible wrestler, got over because he committed to his character and he did what he knows how to do.
Do you think Sandman was a character?
I don't think that he went around hitting people with kendo sticks in real life? Question mark?
No, well, obviously the kendo stick part, but do you think he's like his beer drinking, like whacked out?
I would imagine that he funneled beer down the throats of slightly less teenagers in real life. But
I don't know.
Maybe I doubt it.
I could see him being a little whacked out in real life like that.
It's very possible.
His character's probably exaggerated, but I feel like Sandman's definitely a lot like that in real life.
Yep.
But yeah, I know what you mean with like Boogeyman and stuff.
Yeah, you gotta just ham it up, have fun, and just do it, no matter what it is. And that's what's making Bo Dallas so great constantly. And that's what we're finally seeing New Day do.
I mean, just look at guys like R-Truth. I mean, his character's been like nowhere, and he just stuck with the little, like, he made up the little Jimmy and all, and then it's going back a little while, but he made that character into something, like, it was so stupid, but people were really into it for a while. And people, I guess, we're getting back into it a little bit again now.
Wow. I would not say that R-Truth is over.
Well, he's not over, but they're pushing him again. And maybe they see that dedication in him.
Maybe. I don't know. The ship's probably sailing on R-Truth.
Oh, yeah, he's I don't think he's going to be around much longer, but
no. He had TNA, and he had that 1 month in 2011 before the pipe bomb.
Yeah, but he's up there in age, isn't he?
I think he's in his 40s now.
Yeah, I thought he was like 45.
He's definitely up there.
Hold on, should I ask Siri?
Sure.
How old is Ron Killings?
Oh, using his real name. That was classy.
43.
Hey, that was crazy quick and surprisingly accurate from Siri.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that name, right?
Yeah, I was not expecting you to bust out the real name there.
Yeah, he's one of the few. Oh, I know a lot of the names, but he's one of the few ones I always remember for some odd reason.
I usually remember their names.
It depends who. Like, I know some of them.
But I just, like, think of them as the characters.
Well, I didn't know if you'd come up with Siri as a character. We probably would have, but...
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
And speaking of R-Truth, he was in the next match in the King of the Ring tournament.
See, I purposely did this.
Did you?
Yeah, it was all planned.
Oh, man. You were just operating on such a high level.
Yes. Yes.
So, we get R-Truth coming out first, talking about getting rid of spiders, which is actually a pretty fair goal. Honestly, I would vote for R-Truth.
I was just watching that. I was like, what is he talking about?
I was 100% support. I was like, yeah, no spiders. That's a great idea. I've always said there's too many spiders.
I was like, this guy got told to do his promo, and he was like, I'm just going to mess around with this one. It completely worked.
You mean he got told, hey, what would you do as king? And he was like, spiders, who needs them, right? That's the way to live your life. I'm so happy about that. I'm still really excited about that. And just spoiler alert, he doesn't end up winning the King of the Ring.
No.
The fact that we are going to continue to have spiders under the current king is very upsetting to me.
It does make me tear up a little bit.
I know. They just got all the eyes and the legs.
I have a slight arachnophobia. Not strong. Like, I can bear them, but they freak me out.
Yeah. I know, and they have no place in the current state of WWE. Which is why their abolishment is so necessary.
I must say, I don't know if I've ever seen a spider in a storyline. Can you remember a storyline that ever involved a spider?
I can think of a bunch that involved a snake.
Yeah. I was at the mall today, and you know what I saw? Jake the Snake t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't think of any Jake the Snake t-shirt I have ever seen in my life.
Well, I guess they were WWE licensed, because it was at Tilly's. We went in there. I went in with my friends. I don't really care for Tilly's, but I was interested by the WWE Championship that was on a desk. And I look at the desk, and they have their own Tilly's brand WWE shirts. Like, I guess they were licensed with agreement with WWE. They had a Jake the Snake one, which is just him and the snake, and it was pretty cool. They had that in my size, but I didn't feel like buying it because I don't know, I was never really a Jake the Snake guy, but...
There's no such thing as not being a Jake the Snake guy. What is this?
I don't mind Jake the Snake, but I'm not, like, gonna wear his t-shirts. I don't want to be that fake fan.
What is this?
I don't know, I'm weird like that. I really only buy shirts of people I'm hardcore fans of.
I understand that, but how can you not be a hardcore fan of Jake the Snake Roberts?
Which is why I don't understand why I have the shirt of Ryback. But that's besides the point.
You have a Ryback shirt.
Well, it was back in 2013 when he was still kind of popular.
So it's not the one that says hungry.
No, it's feed me more.
Oh, because both of those shirts kind of send a weird message to the non-wrestling fan.
Yeah, but the Tillys had a Jake the Snake shirt, which I thought that was pretty interesting. An Iron Sheik one, which I would have bought, but they did not have my size. Yeah. And a Ultimate Warrior one, which, I know you're gonna think I'm weird, but I'm not a hardcore Ultimate Warrior fan either, so.
No, I'm not a hardcore Ultimate Warrior fan.
Well, I wasn't sure.
I like him, but I've heard bad things about him, like, as a human being.
See, I don't really, like, I go off character. Like, if they're a bad human being, it just kind of sucks, but. Like, I bought Orton shirts when I knew he was a terrible person back in the day. He's straightened his life out now, but...
Yeah, he was. I can't get behind a person who's actually a bad person.
Yeah, I know. Which does kind of suck, but...
Makes it easy because now most of them are pretty good people.
Yeah. They had those three shirts there, and I was tempted to buy a Ultimate Warrior shirt, but I was like, I'm not really an Ultimate Warrior fan. Like, I like them, but like not to the point where I was going to spend money on them, which I felt bad.
Meh.
I would have bought the Sheik shirt because I love the Iron Sheik. That dude's hilarious. It's funny because I wouldn't even bought it for his wrestling skills. It's just how whacked out he is. I would have bought it.
You would have bought an Iron Sheik t-shirt for his Twitter account.
Yeah, pretty much. And nobody would even know like who the Iron Sheik is if I wore it in public, except for like very few. And they would just like, oh, wow, you hate America.
That's the only reason that I like buy wrestling shirts. Is to, like, just, like, in case there's going to be a wrestling fan where I am, they need to know that I'm a wrestling fan.
I know this is getting a little off topic, but do you wear wrestling shirts in school?
I have a ton of wrestling shirts. I can't think of a day that I don't wear some wrestling apparel.
See, it's weird. I'm a hardcore fan, and I'm not afraid of letting people know. But I don't wear their shirts to school. I don't even really wear them, like, in general. Like, I buy them, but I just never really wear them except for wrestling events. And that's where I have a dilemma, is because I only wear them to wrestling events. I do eventually go to a wrestling event, I have so many to pick from, and I just can't choose. Because I want to wear them all, because I don't ever get to wear them. I don't know, maybe I'm going to start wearing them more often.
Yes.
I'm at this conclusion that I'm just going to start wearing wrestling shirts more often.
I mean, I actively, like, purchase ones that I think will be fine, like, for public use. Like,
the
you,
only
can,
one, yeah.
You can't buy a John Cena shirt, because you can't wear that in public.
Yeah.
Not
like,
that
I
have any desire to.
But well, actually, that...
Fashion
yeah,
advice.
I was in Hot Topic, because, yeah, I like to look around a Hot Topic.
Love Hot Topic.
But I always look for the wrestling shirts, because one time they had Daniel Bryan shirts back when he was doing the no-no-no thing, and I really wanted it, but I didn't have money for a shirt, and I was really upset, and then I went back, and they never had it again. But they always have a John Cena one, which I don't want. They do have this new John Cena one. But the one I did like, too bad I already owned, which kind of sucks, was the Dean Unstable Ambrose, which I would have definitely bought.
Oh, I love that one.
If I didn't already own it myself.
Oof.
I was like, the one time they have a cool shirt, I already own it. What's the...
I got my Macho Man shirt there, so, like, I'm eternally grateful to Hot Topic.
I was going to get a Macho Man shirt. I don't think it was Hot Topic, but it was at the mall. It might have been Hot Topic. But again, they didn't have my size. Man, what's up with none of these stores having 2Xs? It makes me cry.
Maybe you should lose some weight, buddy.
Maybe. Maybe. I didn't even think 2Xs like, were that big. Like, if it was like a 3X, I could understand. But 2Xs is kind of general.
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm a medium. So life is easy.
Yeah, I guess so. You can go in any store and find some clothes.
So we get Bo Dallas in the next segment.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Bo Dallas, yay! Bo Dallas, Bo Dallas, Bo 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 Bo. Feel free to interrupt at any time. Bo 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 Dallas, yay!
You did a little differently than I thought, but okay.
I am always going in different directions. You can never predict what I'm doing. My hands are making weird things nobody can see.
Yeah, I can't see them.
Yeah, here's a butterfly though.
Until you get that camera.
Butterfly flying away. Anyway.
I don't remember this match.
It was just kind of Bo Dallas being arrogant and amazing and having a terrible, amazing facial hair, and then getting shell shocked.
See, I remember them both coming out, and I remember a match, but I don't remember an ending to the match.
Yeah, it was just, you know, Bo Dallas like kind of getting the upper hand for a minute, and then getting shell shocked.
Wait, I thought it was against R-Truth.
No, it was Ryback.
Wait, what happened to the R-Truth match? That's why I don't remember this match.
Oh, because I forgot to... Because it was... I'm, like, reading my notes weird. Like, I wrote, like, Stardust vs. R-Truth, and then I, like, totally skipped over Ryback vs.
Yeah,
Dallas, which
more,
was before that.
I actually remember this match. Okay, that's why... No wonder I don't understand this match, because it didn't happen.
Okay. So I remember them both coming out at totally different times.
Yeah, Stardust versus R-Truth. Yeah.
Yep.
So it was a decent, my it was bad. Decently long match.
Yeah.
Had a little back and forth.
Kinda. It was good though. It was it was fun.
Stardust very rarely doesn't entertain, so.
Oh, Stardust is the best.
He's
I love
a very,
Stardust, but before
very...
we get to that, we do have Ryback and Bo Dallas.
Oh, so we got the order wrong. Okay.
Yeah, I got the order wrong. That was the issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, quick match. Obviously, probably not a lot to say.
Well, there is one thing to say. After the match.
Well, I thought I'm getting there.
Okay. I wasn't sure. So maybe you got your order wrong. And
well,
you thought
hey.
Something. Maybe
watch
this
yourself.
After the Stardust match.
Watch yourself. So you know what? You seem excited about it. You take the reins.
The Roman Reigns. I think I said that like every single podcast so far.
I'm counting on it. If I say Reigns at any point, you better make that pun.
Last podcast I was listening to, and you said Reigns, and I did not say Roman Reigns. And it was the first time in all like 7 podcasts I did not say that. And it made me upset. But
it makes me upset too now.
But I made sure I said it this time. But no. So Ryback comes out and he beats up on Bo Dallas, and then all of a sudden, we follow the buzzards. That's right. Bray Wyatt comes out. And he hits the Sister Abigail. And then he kisses Ryback on the forehead. And goes home. In his creepy little way. It was very simple. Just black lights. Ryback doesn't even realize he's behind him. And then Ryback turns around. Acts scared. But still tough at the same time. And then gets beat up. So for like a month now, we've been getting these promos from Bray, kind of like the Undertaker promos. She's like, "You are powerful, and I want to take your power." That's not exactly what he said, but that's what it led up to. And I've been questioning. I know we talked a little bit about last week, or not last week. I guess it was this week, Sunday, about who these promos were about. Yeah, then you actually called it, Dylan. You said Ryback, and I didn't want to believe it because I didn't think I wanted it. But now that it actually happened, it's a little bittersweet. I mean, it's very interesting to see Ryback in a meaningful feud for once. It's been a while.
Yeah, a long while.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, he's been given chance after chance, but now that I like another chance. I like another chance to see how I can make it in an interesting feud. Go ahead.
The thing about Ryback's chances is that he's never actually done badly in any of them, right? Like, he's been fairly successful. He's been fairly over. He's drawn fairly well. And, like, all of the chances he's got, he's just kind of, like, been shoved off to the side because of, like, corners that they've booked themselves into and stuff like that.
Yeah, like bigger names.
Yeah, you know, like his first big push, Cena got hurt and they were desperate, and so they just had to shove him in the main event, and so he had to lose because he was not even close to ready for the title. But he was still crazy over, and then they just had to turn him heel and give him another push like that, but he didn't really have the mic skills for that. But he still did the best that he could, and he had a pretty successful feud with Cena before kind of fading into obscurity. And so it's good to see him back as, like, a face, which he's considerably better. And just, like, slight shift in the character, just beating the crap out of the bad guys instead of the good guys, and bringing back the Feed Me More chant. Those are the only two differences.
Yeah, I'm interested to see it, because I know a lot of people like the Eric Rowan, Ryback, Ziggler team, like, of Survivor Series and all the way through. And they kind of been like, well, I don't know what happened there, growing, but they kind of been on that little high for a while now. I mean, they've just been kind of like no feud faces other than Ziggler. I mean, this is mainly just getting the ride back, but it was Ziggler was part of it for a little while too. Then yeah. After WrestleMania season, he broke off from that. But now Eric Rowan was on the same thing, but he just went into obscurity and
yeah,
it's gone
he's just
now.
Gone.
Yes, and Ryback is still all the way from November on that just random weird high of the Survivor Series team good guy with no actual feud to be had. So it is interesting to see how he'll do with a real enemy, as you will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it. I think he's going to do fine. I'm a little worried that Bray doesn't exactly have the in-ring skills to, like, kind of, like, put on an actually good match with someone like Ryback?
It's definitely two different wrestling techniques.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll match with each other.
Bray's just, like, he's, like, an old-school, like, character wrestler.
Ryback's just, I pick things up and I put them down.
Yeah.
Or slam them down in Ryback's.
Yeah.
Ryback's. Yeah, so it's
and
definitely
those are both great things, but I don't know how they're going to go together.
I think if there was a bad guy at the moment, other than Seth Rollins, to pull it off, Bray Wyatt. So, like, to make Ryback look good, Bray Wyatt is a good pick. I mean, yeah. he has a good ability of putting on awesome matches. So, like,
does
even
he,
like,
like, I mean, the ones that stand out in my mind would be Daniel Bryan at Royal Rumble. Undertaker, I love that match.
I didn't really like that match all that much, to be honest, but I just think that was working with an older, stiffer performer. It was a little bit hard. I don't know. See?
I love that
match. I keep telling myself, now that you say that, I keep telling myself Bray can make anybody look good, but I don't know. His matches with Dean Ambrose were awesome.
Yep.
But Dean Ambrose is also an awesome wrestler.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Or he's awesome at his character, at least, in performing. And if a painful move is being done to Dean Ambrose, he makes it look like
you can always count on Dean Ambrose to sell a move, baby.
Yeah, so actually this is kind of a test for both guys, now that you say that.
Yeah, I mean, if they both succeed and this feud takes off, then this could elevate both of these guys hugely. And it's so weird to say that Bray Wyatt needs huge elevating right after coming off of the feud with The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
He definitely
but he kind of
does. That Undertaker, like, it's weird. It's actually a weird thing to say that Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt wasn't even, like, a big thing for Bray Wyatt. Like, it was for that one night.
They didn't.
It was
like a big thing for him going into WrestleMania, but then they didn't do anything with it. Like, he didn't
It was the lack of Undertaker being there beforehand. It was kind of just like, okay, I'm here to beat you up.
I can understand that, but Bray Wyatt, like, did amazingly on his own, and he really proved himself to be, like, a capable, like, main event performer, if not necessarily, like, a wrestler. But at the same time, when you have a match like that, and you have Bray Wyatt, like, carrying this feud so fully and entirely, for obvious reasons, because he's the only one there, and then he loses, then you have to do something with that. You have to give people a reason to care about him again, and it's not just leaving him off TV for a week and then having him vaguely talk about someone else. You have to go in and you have to say, like, this is your... He has to say, I understand I lost, but this is why it doesn't matter. Or this is why, like, it's fine.
I let him win, you fools.
Yeah, whatever, who cares?
Something I don't know.
Just, like, acknowledge it and, like, acknowledge that the biggest thing that's happened to your career happened.
Yeah, instead of actually winning and becoming the new face of fear, he just calls himself the face of fear.
Yeah.
I deserve it now. I fought him.
It doesn't matter. I hit him with the finishing move. I am fear.
I kicked out of a tombstone. I am fear. That actually is pretty interesting, kicking out of a tombstone.
It's the whole finisher thing
again. Yeah,
I can't think of the last I don't know. Did Batista kick out of a tombstone?
I'm pretty sure a lot of them did at this point. I mean, Shawn Michaels did.
Oh, Shawn Michaels did all the time.
Yeah.
Triple H did all the time. Punk did once.
I'm sure Edge and Orton probably did. Actually, Orton didn't. I don't think.
No, Orton. I don't think Orton did.
But
Edge did.
Edge might have. Yeah.
Edge did, because he lost to the Hell's Gate.
Oh, I hated the Hell's Gate. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I don't love it. It's just, like, fine.
I thought it was cool, honestly. But looking back at it, Undertaker's not one of those guys that needs a goofy submission.
Why not, though?
I don't know. It just doesn't really.
Why did he have it?
I think the whole thing of the blood coming from the mouth is kind of like campy, and I know you like.
Don't remember that happening.
You don't remember the blood?
No, when was
every
that?
When he first debuted it, every single time he used it, people would bleed from the mouth.
Who did he Why did he debut it? There was, like, a specific reason that he needed a submission hold, and I can't remember what it was. Was it Breaking Point 2009 with Punk?
I don't think it was with Punk. It was definitely 2008, because I remember
right.
Big Daddy V was in it. I specifically have an image of Big Daddy V bleeding from the mouth with a submission. Because Big Daddy V just debuted, and he was a monster. and nobody could take him down, and Undertaker was the first person to beat him, I believe. Okay. Or if he wasn't the first person to beat him, he was one of the first, and I'm pretty sure he did it in a handicap match.
So, I mean, it makes sense, though, because the majority of Undertaker's, or no, all of Undertaker's finishing moves, Chokeslam, Tombstone, and the Last Ride, if you know, that's been a finishing move, I'll call it a finishing move, fine. Are all, like, incredibly reliant on Undertaker being able to pick these people up and safely put them back down. Big Daddy V is not going to be able to take a Tombstone. Not going to be able to take the Last Ride for sure, which only leaves the Choke Slam, which is not really a convincing finisher.
Which I don't know if Big Daddy V was the person they debuted it on, but I know it was during that time period, and every single person would bleed from the mouth afterwards. I remember that.
I don't remember that. Like, I've seen all the matches with Edge, Punk, I've seen him do it a lot, and I can't.
At least
think
when
of
he first debuted it, everybody was bleeding from the mouth. It was for
that's
a little
goofy.
While. Like, yeah, I guess they put in a little blood capsule and they just bit down on it. That's the only thing that really makes sense for that.
That's goofy though, because like it's
see,
just,
I thought
it's
you
a
might
choke,
like that.
Right?
I thought you might like. Yeah, I think he's putting his leg on their jugular.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that it's a choke. Yeah. I don't understand why you would bleed from the mouth. Unless you, bit your tongue.
He's Undertaker here, why not?
All right, but moving right along, or right back along, to Stardust and R-Truth, I think we're still on.
No, we finished R-Truth. No, we didn't.
Nah. So, we just talked about spiders for a while, and then that was about it.
Damn spiders.
I know, right? So yeah, Stardust mostly controlled the match because he's amazing and I love him with all of my heart and everything else on my body.
I love him. I love him as much as there are stars in the world. Universe. The world. I don't think you say stars.
Literally zero stars in the world, Kevin.
Well, actually, if you just go on Hollywood Boulevard, there's a lot of stars.
Those are just star-shaped plaques.
What is on Stardust's hand? Star-shaped gloves.
Star-shaped
gloves.
Latex.
Yeah, so.
Unless he has a latex allergy, and then maybe cotton, or whatever they make gloves out of.
We assume it's latex, but maybe it's his actual skin.
That is an entirely viable option.
I mean, maybe he's really not Cody Rhodes.
That would be the greatest. Can that be a thing?
He's actually from a different universe, and he's Stardust.
Cody Rhodes is just watching from an intergalactic jail cell.
It's it's kind of like how he did Santina and Santino, where he walks on. He's like, hey.
But it was actually never Santino in the first place. It
yeah,
was
exactly.
Actually his sister.
It was a sister.
It's have you seen the, I'm going to get too crazy off topic here. It's the Batman parody that he's no, I'm not Batman. Watch, I'm going to drink water and Batman's going to talk. And he's just holding the mask and choking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
I think I actually have seen that. It was a terrible description, but I think
it was a terrible, terrible description.
I'm as positive,
but I'm desperately trying to not do what we always do. And actually talk about what we need to talk about. So I just made it a terribly short and terrible description, and we're going to move on.
Yes.
To what's probably just as entertaining as Batman. Fandango versus Adam Rose.
Oh. So we have the Rosebuds, and then we got the two different songs. Two terrible, terrible gimmicks.
Yeah. Really, really bad gimmicks.
I love...
Fandango is a great gimmick.
No. It's fun. Dang. Go. That's all he needs to do to get back over with me. Just start interrupting people when they say his name.
How has he stopped doing that? What is life without that in it? It's the A's have not breathed for so long.
What is the point of living without Fandango?
No. It's Fandango.
Better. That's still not right. It's Fandango.
Adam Rose.
Go. Yes.
Adam Rose.
So yeah, Adam Rose won for whatever reason that might be with the party foul, which
yeah,
is
I didn't even know that was I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, he like debuted it like and it was awesome. And then it was like, oh, but it's still Adam Rose, so I guess it doesn't matter.
And then he had a weird thing with oh yeah, there's a reason he won.
Yeah, yeah, and it was terrible.
One of the Rosebuds came out. I don't know, some Latino chick. She was like, hey, Fandango.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
She's
I was
like, Latin.
Yeah, I don't know. She was
something
weird.
She looked like someone who might associate herself with, like, Primo.
Yeah, she looks pretty old, too. And she was like, hey, you can't get this anymore. And Fandango was like, who are you? And Adam Rose was like, hey, party foul. And then the Latina chick and Adam Rose was like, that's them making out. And,
I can't even handle that description. I can't. This is the end of my life.
No!
I'd also like to point out that Fandango broke up with her. So, like, I don't understand the whole logic of, oh, you're not getting any of this anymore. It's like, well, yeah, that's why I broke up with you. LOL, gotcha.
That's like a girl saying... That's like after you break up with a girl, she's like, which you'll never have something, or you'll never get something just like, oh, I was going to say a really funny thing, and I can't remember it, so never mind. I suck.
All right.
Nailed it.
Fist bump of justice.
That's really weird that you said that, because I fist pumped the air right before you said that. Like, I was like, going for like an up top.
We are one. We are one. We will stand together. Number one, yeah. Number one. The Chosen Ones. Yeah. So, Brie Bella versus Naomi was the next thing that happened, kind of.
Wait, did we ever say who the Latina chick was? She was just some... Oh, wait, never mind. We did. Some random Rosebud. Never mind.
Some random person that Primo may or may not have been associated with in the past.
Yeah, never mind.
And likes to... with Adam Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, you do it. Very unnervingly. So yeah, Naomi is sticking with those boots, man, no matter what we say.
Oh yeah, the Brie Bella interview that we're talking about.
Oh yeah, well that happened also.
Well, it was just really awkward. So I guess it's official, the Bella twins are apparently face now.
What does that even mean, though?
Like they have,
they're
they...
just like annoying to a different set of people?
It's like, oh, it's like Naomi's bad, so I guess that automatically makes us the good guys.
It's not how that works, though. Not even a little bit is that how that works.
So, yeah, so Brie Bella's going back to the, hey, Daniel Bryan will be back fine or soon. I'm her wife. I'm his wife, and we're going to get through this together. We're going to keep the fight going. Then all of a sudden, Naomi's like, slap, or it was more like a push or something like that. She just pushes her down. It doesn't even beat her up or anything, like a typical interruption. She was just like, ha, I'm a bully, and then walks out.
Which is, you know, kind of the best way to treat any situation, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they had Brie Bella had a match later with Naomi.
It was actually right after.
Yeah.
And it was okay. Fine, I guess.
It was give Divas a chance.
I don't know. I love Naomi, but the Bellas ruined every Divas match that's happened in the past like 2 years. They've been in all of them.
Yeah, they've been around for a while actually.
And they just won't stop doing it.
Like, it's really easy to forget how long they've been around for. They've been around like,
and
for
and how
couple,
long they've been terrible, which is
for
forever.
for a couple of generations of diva classes. I mean, they go all the way back to like the Michelle McCool days, which I know doesn't seem like that long ago, but it kind of was.
It was like when Mickie James was part of the company. Which
Mickie
seems like
James
forever
was,
and a half
was,
ago.
Yeah, she was. She's underrated of today. Like, they don't really mention her that well. Like, I guess TNA reasons. Is she even with them anymore? I don't think so, but...
I don't know.
But...
I know that she's married to Magnus now, which is, like, the greatest thing you can do as a human being.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
but,
they have, like, an adorable little kid.
Yeah. Hopefully he never searches up Mickie James' bad photos, but...
I've seen that video. It's terrible.
Video?
Yeah, it's a video.
She has a porn video?
She has a porno, but it's really lame. It's really bad.
She has like hundreds of photos.
I have seen those as well. Those are more positive.
Oh, I have those all saved on my computer, but that's
I don't know how to respond to that.
No, I'm joking.
I don't think I've ever downloaded anything.
No.
It's like the only thing the internet works.
But she's very underrated. Like, she's definitely a future Hall of Famer, at least in my eyes. Like, there's not many divas in my book that have Hall of Fame ability, but she really had a mark. I know she left kind of on bad terms, but she definitely had a huge mark for a decent amount of time in the company, like, where she was the main gal.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, she was kind of like the John Cena of the Divas division.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think if you induct her, you also kind of have to induct, like, Tori and Victoria, which I don't really see.
No, Tori and Victoria weren't multi-time champions, and they were never the main girls. They were just there.
I would say Tori got up there.
Tori Wilson, like, it's debatable, but she was pretty much just eye candy. Like, yeah, she could wrestle.
A lot of them were. That was that era.
It was a time. Like, Candice Michelle, Tori Wilson, there's a couple. I can't think of any of them.
Christy Hemme.
There's a good amount of them. I can't really think of any off the top of my head for some reason. But there was a lot.
Yeah.
And, so that's why I really don't think, like, that generation kind of should just be skipped.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, they already put in, like, Trish Stratus was during kind of like that time a little bit.
Yeah.
And so was Lita. And they both...
Once Lita was in, I was pretty satisfied with the state of the woman's brand.
I was stratified, but, yeah. And then that's what kind of ended. Actually, she ended both Trish and Lita. No, did she end Lita? Yeah, she ended Lita, too, I believe. Mickie James. And they kind of passed the torch to her, and she held it for a long time. And then after she left on bad terms, I don't even know the full story, something about like her whacked out like when she first came in, but in real life. But she had it for a long time. Like, she felt like crazy good wrestlers like Beth Phoenix, Victoria.
Beth Phoenix was great.
She was an amazing talent. But there's a couple more. Like, I'm having a really bad time remembering. But there was a lot of
Phoenix though.
Yeah, she
was stuck in the Kelly Kelly era.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. All right,
but going back.
Yeah.
We still have
anyway,
some
King
of
the Ring. She deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, damn it.
All right. Mickie James.
Not anytime soon, but in the future.
So, Dean Ambrose versus Sheamus, King of the Ring. Quarterfinal, technically, I guess. I don't know. King of the Ring match, whatever.
Regular match.
Dean Ambrose versus Sheamus. Obviously, this could have been a lot more. As was the theme for the night, could have gotten more time than it did.
This could have been a pay-per-view worthy match.
Oh, yeah. These two are awesome. And they work awesome together. I've been saying that a lot about Sheamus lately. Maybe Sheamus is just great. I think that's it. Let's go with that. Sheamus is the best, guys.
Very talented. He's the best. The best Irish performer in the business. I just wanted to piss off some people.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people. Well, I don't know.
Have you guys not seen the Finn Balor? I mean, do you know who he is?
Like, have you ever, like, even watched NXT?
These people call themselves wrestling fans, and they don't even... And they just said that.
Dare they have opinions that aren't mine? Like they're supposed to be internet wrestling fans. I don't know where that accent took me, but it happened.
We went from Vince McMahon to
Valley Girl
to like Simpsons
Valley Girl
comic
IWC.
Book. Simpsons comic book, like.
I guess.
Man.
I don't know, but for the record, Finn Balor is obviously amazing, and we obviously love him.
Yes. And right. I was obviously just trying to be a troll.
Lol.
But you can't even, like, say, like, they're both two different styles. So, it's, yeah.
Yeah,
say
totally.
The best wrestler. It's
yeah. I mean, Sheamus is like super awesome, old school heel. Everyone should love him.
And Finn Balor's just—he's a very interesting character itself. Like I don't know how to explain him. He's just very interesting.
Yeah, we're not getting into that though.
No, that's a different day.
Yeah, we'll definitely do an NXT show, maybe for like the next NXT pay per view or whatever.
Yeah, which
we'll definitely do that.
For sure.
But we end up with Sheamus winning by DQ after Ziggler attacks Sheamus.
Very lame.
Yeah. Ambrose's response to it was great, though.
He was like, for once, I don't actually do it myself.
For the first time in my life, I didn't do it.
Yeah, that was the line. So you remember lines well.
Yeah, I have a good memory for stuff like this.
I remember the basis. I remember what pretty much they said. I'm like, I pretty much like, you know, I pretty much it.
Yep.
I'm the pretty mucher.
I don't know. This was like, seems like Ziggler should be smarter than this. I understand that he's like, you know, oh, I'm upset, so attack you during your match. Ha, got you.
I've always thought, if I was mad at a person, I would just go in and attack their opponent. I've always thought that.
It seems like such a smarter decision, but no one ever does it.
That makes too much sense.
What if, like, instead of trying to bring them momentary pain, I got them eliminated from the tournament? That was my Dolph Ziggler impression. How'd you like it?
Oh, I just really... really want to punch him 3 times before he runs away in the crowd. I think I'm gonna do it.
Sounds very satisfying to me. But, I mean, the match was good. It could have obviously been a lot better, and we'll probably get these two in a lot better match in the future. But
that would be a feud I wouldn't mind.
No, I would, in fact, enjoy it. Maybe later down the line when they're still not trying to build up Sheamus as a heel and feel like confident enough to trade wins.
This makes me question where Dean Ambrose is going to go from here.
He needs to be on the uphill.
Because I was really hoping he'd like win the King of the
me
Ring.
Too.
Just to give him something to do.
Me too.
And here he is, not even in the King of the Ring episode itself.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm hoping that they just did that to save him for Money in the Bank, and he goes on to cash in at WrestleMania 32. Yay! I don't know.
Well,
and I won't be that, but I just that's what I see for Dean Ambrose, and that's what I'm desperately hoping for. I'll mark out so hard if Ambrose wins Money in the Bank.
Yeah, they'll probably like start something new this year, like. Oh, yeah, we win the Money in the Bank. You get a shot at the United States Championship. Or not, like, something like that.
In the championship you want. And he just ends up picking the Intercontinental title.
I'm unstable. What do you expect?
Like, like Kamal. It's like, you get one title match. Whichever one you want to come up to WWE. And he picks, like, Dolph Ziggler in the Intercontinental title. It's like,
Dolph Ziggler.
Bad decision making, Kaval.
Oh, you're talking about that. Yeah, you're going back to. Yeah.
That was just like the one time that came into my memory when you brought that up.
That's
just
when I stopped
Kaval
watching.
Picking
that's
the
when I stopped watching
title.
NXT. Right after that season, I was just done with it.
It's a shame because the Nexus was the greatest.
And it was ruined, but yep.
Yeah,
going back to Raw.
So we get Sandow.
I don't even remember this.
You know, what do you mean you don't remember this? This was great.
I don't know. I think I might have took a long shower.
Man, you made a bad decision there because Sandow comes out, kind of like acknowledges all of his past gimmicks and like just generally seems like this super genuine and like good human being. He had like a lot of super like edgy. Like reminiscent of Edge qualities, to just kind of his general, like, speaking style. But he was just so, like, likable, and in it just, oh, it just worked so well. And the crowd was mediocre, but the crowd was mediocre all night, so that's fine.
Does he still call himself Mizdale?
No, he's Sandow. Back to Sandow.
Good.
And he's
good.
Like, I don't know. He's just, like, super humble and genuine human being character now. And it's great. And it works really well. And he's just such a likable guy.
Is he still with Summer Rae?
No. Good. No, Summer Rae turned on him last week.
Turned on him?
What is happening to your brain?
I didn't watch last week, remember?
No, I don't remember that.
Or not? What, yeah, was it work? No, it wasn't work. I was doing something last week. Oh, yeah, I had the project, remember?
Oh, yeah. All right, well, yeah, Summer Rae turned on him. And
yeah,
Miz won a lot. Yeah, Miz won the red stall, the branding.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yep, so,
that's why he's back down the south. See, I'm learning a lot today.
See, this is an informational podcast and an educate. No, wait, no. And an, what's the word? Entertaining podcast. Yay.
I'm getting an education.
Oof. Oof.
Just a lot of oofing. Today.
Oof. Music interrupts Curtis Axel.
I missed the best moment of the night.
I know. Don't change the channel.
I was about to say that.
Yep. It was so good. So Sandow just kind of starts like mocking him and just being Sandow, whatever. And Sandow, it's a big boot, like goes for the big leg drop, but instead like holds out the arm and does the elbow of disdain. And it's great, and it's awesome. Yeah, you need to go back and watch this segment, because Sandow is, like, the most likable person that's ever existed in the history of human beings, and it's awesome.
I have so much wrestling to watch.
Yes,
so
you have a lot. You have a lot, like, but this is, like, top of the list. It's
with May coming up, I'm so busy, and this weekend, I'm so busy. It's just, I'm a busy person now, and it just makes me sad.
I'm never too busy for Sandow.
All I want to do is wrestling. All I want to do is wrestling.
Do it then.
I'm a busy person.
Moving right along to Neville versus Luke Harper.
I also missed this.
How? Why? What?
I was in the shower, dude. I'm sorry.
You miss out so hard on every good thing that ever exists in life.
I know. Every Monday Raw, I miss at least two things. And for the most part,
Maybe you should choose your showers better. This is such an easy fix.
Yeah, I know, but I'm...
Shower in the morning like a normal person.
Sometimes I need a break from all, if that makes sense. Like that's a really bad thing.
Why would you take a break during Sandow? And
well, I didn't know Sandow was coming up. See, I'm a weird person. I love wrestling. This whole 3-hour Raw thing is good to me. So I usually take a little break in between.
I don't get that at all.
See, I know. It's weird. Like, all the people listening are like, you're supposed to be a hardcore wrestling fan? I laugh at this kid. It's like, no, I am. It's just... I don't know. Raw sometimes. I don't know. It's hard to watch 3 hours straight of it. So I usually take a half hour break by
taking
a shower.
Can you make it through pay per views?
Oh yeah, no problem.
So what is okay?
Well, pay per views is straight up wrestling, and there's nothing more. Where Raw's a lot of, I'm not gonna lie, there's a lot of BS in it sometimes, and this Raw didn't really have a lot of BS, and that's why I miss a lot. But some Raws does, and it's either a hit or miss, and I missed a lot.
Yeah. Factual.
So, yeah, I'm sorry,
because
guys.
Neville versus Luke Harper. Just think about that match for a
minute.
Yeah,
I came in right when the match. I came right in right when he hit. I won't say the ending. Right when the match ended, and I was upset.
Man.
Because that was the one match I was looking forward to, and that's the one match I miss, and I cry.
You should cry. I think that's the way to approach the situation.
Yeah, I just burst out in tears in my tail.
Do it.
No, I already did. I was crying for a long time.
I know. Keep it up.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry.
Good. I would like my analysis of this match to be partially drowned out in the tears.
So we have
Neville coming out with just this the big, super awesome Mighty Mouse entrance with the fireworks. We get... Oh, this is great. This is so great. We're not going to discuss the Booker T. Owen Hart thing. It was just a It's like a just a misunderstanding.
My heart. And I,
this is so good. We're not even gonna discuss this. It was a mistake. He apologized. We're gonna move on.
Why even bring it up?
Because it's in my notes.
But it makes me upset.
Seemed to me. Yeah. That's well. Why do you think I would bring it up?
You make me cry.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to do it.
All right. I'm done.
All right. That was good though. That made me happy. So we just got like a solid back and forth match. Obviously, just Neville just kind of stymieing the bigger Luke Harper at every turn. Harper just kind of trying to use his size, and Harper using his, or no, Neville using his speed and all of that good stuff. It's just like, it's just a super fun match. Like, you've always kind of knew it would be. Like, every Neville match has been since he's debuted. He's not had one bad or even like average match. Neville's been amazing. He, like, had some truly great moves. He had, like, a top rope powerbomb thing. He had a German suplex on Luke Harper, which was super cool and great. And I love the German suplex more than anything you know.
I do like his suplexes. The way he, I don't know, the way he makes it work is, I don't know, he does it differently than most people.
They're just, like, so crisp and smooth. Like, because, I don't know, they're just, like, done like a small person would do a suplex.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Chris Benoit, like, Eddie Guerrero. Like, just a smaller guy. But I don't, it just looks good.
Yeah.
They made it look good. He makes it look good.
Yeah.
That's how I'm getting at that.
Mm-hmm. Neville wins with the red arrow, moves on to the semifinals of the King of the Ring tournament. In a good match. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy Neville matches. Neville 4-Champ 2K15.
How long was that match?
It was probably like 10 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we go to the main event. Roman Reigns and Randy Orton versus Kane and Seth Rollins. It's kind of really sad recently that, like, we've been seeing, like, this amazing champion that, like, the internet has, we've all been asking for and we all love. And he finally gets the championship, and he's involved in generally the worst segment of Raw.
Wait, we missed a segment.
Don't see one.
Rusev Cena.
Did I even take notes on that?
I'm wondering if probably no.
Cena
comes out, he's like, yo, man, one day out from my freaking match, and I'm gonna open challenge. Who's taking the challenge, doggy dog?
Oh, this was great. Right. Never mind. Why didn't I take notes on this?
And out comes, I'm a one-man band. And then Heath Slater comes out, and he's like, yo. All right, sorry, that's JTG. Because he starts talking, and he's like, I actually didn't listen to his promo. I had it on mute because I was giving my own observations on my own announcing. But he started talking, which I assume probably went with, I'm going to beat John Cena because I was in 3MB and I have a cool haircut now. And
oh, his haircut's so cool. Yeah, he was just like talking down the town and just healing it up and being awesome.
You guys remember Slater Gator, and you guys are pretty smelly, and I'm coming for you, Cena. Are you jelly? And then out comes Rusev and beats, and like actually he throws him off the stage. It was pretty rough. Rusev throws Heath Slater off the stage, and
that was great.
Yeah, and then Lana comes out, and Rusev's like, no, you get back in there. You get back in there. And Lana's like, okay. And she gets back inside. And then Rusev's like, we get one last chance. One last chance to make a name for ourselves. No, he was pretty much like, I challenge, or you're still challenged, and which our last match ever for now. It's going to be an I Quit match at Payback, which we already knew, but he was just like, and if I don't win, I quit. Which is pretty much obvious.
Yep. Right?
Yep. And that was pretty much the promo.
Yeah, it was fine.
I may have said that a little weird, but that was it.
Yeah, it was just like Cena going into, like, he has like very obvious like long stretches of time that he doesn't care and just delivers the same promo every night.
And it's one of those stretches.
Yeah, he's been going through that since WrestleMania. He even did it like through WrestleMania time, which is lame. But like, I don't know, he was written for a terrible feud, but I'm not gonna get into that again. It's better now.
You don't like the Russo Cena? You don't like the Russo Cena?
I like it now, but when it was just like America versus Russia, I thought it was the worst.
Oh yeah, I actually knew you didn't like that.
Because I made a really big deal out of it, because I was mad.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I was really mad.
You didn't like it at all. No, nope. I like it still.
I know you do, but I don't understand.
I still loved when the Russian flag didn't come down, even though it was supposed to.
I was there for that one. That was great.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
It just made for such an awesome moment.
It was, and they were they handled it so well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Roman Reigns, Randy Orton versus Kane and Seth Rollins. I don't know. Kane's just kind of taking a lot of the spotlight off both Reigns and Rollins right now, and it's kind of bumming me out a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, you should be, like, having these, like, major focus on these two main guys that are like, new and fresh and exciting, and I don't care what any of you smarks say about Roman Reigns, he's fresh and exciting. But instead, you just have, like, all of the attention and time go towards Kane.
I know it's bad sounding, but in the long run, I think it's best for business.
Why?
Because I think it's eventually going to lead to the breakup of the, I was going to say the corporation.
Same thing.
Yeah, of the, authority. Of the authority.
Yeah, but like,
and, yeah, so I think in the long run, it's good. Because the authority has definitely run its time. Way overdue.
Wasn't the authority done at Survivor Series?
Yeah, they were
wasn't the stipulation
then
that only John Cena could bring them back?
Yeah, then the writers were like, crap, we don't have any other ideas. To the authority!
So, he did bring them back, though? I don't even remember.
You don't remember that? It was really stupid, because literally the week, literally like 2 weeks before, That's right. Edge and Christian were on as special guests for whatever reason. And then Seth Rollins was threatening to kill Edge. I don't know. It's weird. And John Cena...
That sounds familiar. That I know.
Yeah, John Cena was like, wait. What if I come in the ring? He's like, then Edge is dead. And he's like, well, what can I do to stop that? And Seth Rollins was like, you can I'm a good heel. You can bring back to the authority. And then she was like,
Jesus. So she Jesus was just like a one night thing, like, hey, authority.
It was literally like 2 weeks. Oh, and she was like, I don't know. I'm gonna kill him. Oh. And then she was like, okay. And he's like, I, John Cena, hereby say the authority can suck my ball. No, he's like, you can come back. And then Seth Rollins was like, you idiot. Now the authority's back and I'm still going to kill Edge. And John Cena comes in and stops him. Like, if you could have stopped it then, why didn't you just stop it before you brought back the authority?
Yeah, that sounds exhausting to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really stupid and aggravating. All right. And it was just stupid.
So,
But I think Kane's major involvement in this is hopefully going to lead to the end of the authority. And Seth Rollins can just keep J&J, and that'll be it.
Yep. I say we need to just mask Kane and then be done with that.
I don't even know about Kane. Like, I don't know what I want with him. Do I even really want him to wrestle anymore? Like, that's a terrible thing to say about any wrestler, but I don't know.
I just want mask Kane in the middle of the card. Doesn't need to be in main events. Definitely doesn't need to be the gatekeeper in main events. Whatever that even is. Needs to be masked.
That's what I want him to
angry.
Be. I want him to be in a mask, but I just want him to be the gatekeeper. And You remember how the Hardys? Remember how the Hardys just like, they like opened up the gates for? I think it was like, I forget what pay per view it was.
Oh yeah, for yeah. King of the, that was King of the Ring.
Yeah, I think we should just have Kane. I think we should have Kane do that with every curtain
in the mask. Yeah, in the Jesse yes. costume.
He's just sitting there,
just opening every curtain yes. for the wrestlers.
Yes,
that's like, great.
That's his new role. The yes, gatekeeper. To that. Hell's little gatekeeper. You keep doing your thing, Kane. Good job.
Oh. Hell's little gatekeeper.
Is that going to be...
that should be a thing. That's officially the title of this episode. Hell's little gatekeeper. A Raw review.
Oh, yeah. Let's probably say what happened.
Yep. So they had a match. And it the was end. Just like every tag team Raw main event that they've ever had. So
that's all they've been doing is the past like year.
Yeah, I know. It's really average.
It's really repetitive and really like Teddy Long tag team matches. It's just like, hey, guess what, player? You know what the main event player is going to be? Player? Guess what, player? Tag team
one
match.
One on one with the Undertaker.
No, that's the opening match. It's
right.
Like,
my bad.
First he goes, all of you people in the ring, players, guess what, players, dog, homie, players, you can be players in a tag team match, players in the main event. And for you, one person who's standing out and doesn't involve in the tag team match, you're in a match next, one-on-one with the Undertaker.
Ugh.
Yeah. And yep.
That sounds about right.
Bye, players.
I don't think you used enough players, but probably other than not. That, I think it was right.
One-on-one
with the Undertaker.
Yeah. I remember watching, even when I was little, I realized that's all he did was make tag team matches and Undertaker references.
Yep. It was hard to tell.
Even when I was little, like a little kid, like I was like, oh, this is going to be a tag team match. And then out comes Teddy Long. Tag team match. Player.
I was watching with my like some random SmackDown with my grandma when I was in town one time, and she was like, oh, there's like those six dudes are squaring up. I bet they're going to be like all on teams. And then like Teddy Long comes out, and I was like, you freaking nailed it, grandma.
Oh, I have a fun fact. I already told you this probably, but I was there for the last tag team match Teddy Long's ever made.
You did not tell me that.
Yeah,
all.
I did. Team Teddy versus Team Laurinaitis.
Oh, well, he didn't make that, though. I don't know if that counts.
He did. He said, well, I have an idea. It'll be Sheamus. And then he almost forgot all the people because there were so many people in it.
There's a lot of people, yeah.
It was a 15-man tag team match.
And yet, it was like 10 minutes long.
Yep. And I was there impressive. For it. I was there for the biggest tag team match in history.
Are you saying you were at WrestleMania 28?
No, I was at SmackDown 15.
SmackDown 15, right.
I was at WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, I knew that. I was just thinking of the Team Long versus Team Teddy.
No, they brought that back. It was a.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Because, you know, when everyone thinks of their favorite moment of WrestleMania history that they always want to bring back. It is Team Laurinaitis versus Team Long.
Mine's the Bridge
Team
Club.
Johnny.
Brodus Clay and the Bridge Club.
My favorite memory? Oh. Easily. Umaga versus Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley! Yes! Bobby Lashley reference! Bobby! Yay.
That was such a stupid thing.
How like, dare you insult anything done by the great Bobby Lashley.
By the great no personality.
Excuse you, sir. The former, or perhaps even current, reigning and defending, although probably had defended, would be better if he's not the current champion. I'm not sure, Bobby Lashley of TNA.
Hey, guess what has more personality than Bobby Lashley?
Zero people on the world.
Bag of rocks.
It's not a person, even. Calling you out now.
I said, guess
got
what
you
has
now.
More I never said a person. I said, guess what has more personality than Bobby Lashley?
I know, but that implies person, because person's in the word personality, buddy. Ha, I'm right. What you got?
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Then dead Michael Jackson has more personality than live Bobby Lashley.
Excuse you.
He was the first person I could think of that was dead. That's weird, actually.
I mean, you know what else is weird? Not appreciating the greatness of Bobby Lashley.
What's so great about him?
Perhaps maybe current reigning and defending TNA champion, maybe?
Is it bad that we don't know who their champion is?
Why should we know who their champion is on Destination America?
I mean, it is. I think it's Kurt Angle, actually. It's Kurt Angle.
That's okay. What? Why?
I don't know. He's like, yo, WWE didn't accept me.
Yeah.
Make me your world champion.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to Bobby Lashley, but I bet he did it better because Bobby Lashley.
Well, Bobby Lashley is overrated.
Perhaps maybe the reigning and defending TNA champion. You can't prove that he's not.
He's overrated.
How can you say he's overrated? Nobody likes him but me.
No, a lot of people in TNA like him.
Because he's great.
Yeah, but TNA fans don't know personality.
He had a great match with Jeff. Like, legit, he had a great match with Jeff Hardy.
Matches.
He won the title. It was really good.
There's a reason he's champion in TNA and not in WWE. I don't even know why they made him champion in WWE.
Dude,
he has no
because
personality.
He's great. Championship material, baby.
He has the looks. He doesn't have the personality. And
no, Steve Blackman didn't have the personality.
He lives in a time period where entertainment is part of the three letters in WWE.
Part of the three letters?
Yeah.
That was, okay.
But that's a weird way of wording it, I know.
You know, I think you really just need to work on the whole sentiment that you're trying to get across here, bud. Because let me tell you one thing. There is no greater draw in professional wrestling than Bobby Lashley.
Apparently you never heard of Dirk Beeman.
Yeah, alright. You caught me there. And with that, we transition into your homework. Everyone listening at home, you have one goal. One goal only, one job, excuse me, one job only, and that job is to tweet at Ethan Carter TNA. Hey, Derek Bateman, we love you in Baywatch. Come on, Live Wrestling Podcast.
Yes, do that.
I'm counting on you to do that, okay?
And
everyone, that's your homework. Please do it.
And before we go, we should probably end it all. So, Kane accidentally gets hit by Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins gets RKO'd, or first Superman punched, then RKO'd and pinned, and Kane's like, alright guys, time for the voters to see who they voted for Seth Rollins to face at Payback, and ended up being Triple Threat. So at Payback, it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Which A is amazing, and B is also amazing because it means that Reigns' Big Show is over.
And that's how Raw went off air.
Yep. So,
and that's how we're going off air.
That's how we're going off air. So follow me on Twitter at TheNerdDream. Follow Kevin on Twitter at JerichoWannabe1, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, it's Kevin is a sexy beast, and everybody should
I'm gonna cut you off right there.
My butthole. Okay. Sorry.
Kevin is a sexy beast, and everyone should follow that. But, of course, follow the podcast on Twitter at We Live Wrestling. That's the podcast Twitter is going to become a lot more of a, are going to be a lot more utilized in the near future. So look forward to that.
Because we want
to
talk to you guys. We want to see how our fans think.
Absolutely. Absolutely we do. We just got followed by six people as we speak.
I mean, we're not
so
just
be a part of those people.
We're not just talking to each other about wrestling that we already know about. We're
no,
talking to you. We're
talking.
We're enjoying
because we love you.
Yeah, we're enjoying the wrestling we watch or in the shower while it happened, and we love having these conversations, and we definitely want to be able to talk about it and hear the feedback and learn what you guys want more of.
Yeah.
So if you guys want more of NXT in our talks, then we'll definitely start getting NXT in our talks. If you guys want more main event, never mind.
I'll watch main event if you guys want.
I don't even.
I may become more of a bitter and cynical person.
Yeah, I don't think even if every single one of our fans asked me to watch main event, I would watch main event.
I would do it for you guys. I would. They had CM Punk versus Sheamus once, and it was awesome.
Well, when it debuted.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great match.
Yeah, I think I actually remember that. But
yeah, I covered it live.
But yeah, so we're definitely trying to get more feedback, so because we want to be more interactive with you guys. Yeah. As of now, it just seems kind of like we have 100-something listeners every time, but it's almost like you guys don't really exist because we don't ever hear from you.
Sad face.
Cry.
Crying. Yay, more Kevin crying. Aw.
So, yeah, with that, we would like to go. But,
we must.
Dylan will close us off.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening, as always. Have a beautiful rest of your night. And remember, at Ethan Cutter TNA, hey, Derek Bateman, we loved you in Baywatch. Come on, Live Wrestling Podcast.